Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Would you also please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled, refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and during the week and next Sunday. At the Bible class at 3:30 this afternoon, we will be examining the question, is Peter the head of the church, with reference to Matthew 16, verse 18. We are not on the internet today. There have been some technical problems which we expect will be fixed soon. And however, we are broadcasting, of course, on the radio, but not on the internet. There will be, directly following this service, a dedication to the Lord of little Casey Noriel. And so we will look forward to that right after the service. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 143, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Let's continue our worship with hymn number 175, Standing on the Promises. Please stand as we sing hymn number 257, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace in the name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we fellowship with one another, and as we praise together your name, and as we hear from the choir to praise your glorious work, and from the reading of the scripture from our brother, and from the exposition of the scripture, we pray, O God, that when we leave this place, we can say, we have been with Jesus. We pray for those who are listening over the KKMC voice of AVAM radio. We pray for those who are in the internet, and even today when we had a failure of the internet, Father, we pray as they go to the webpage that they can see again and listen to our service. We thank you, Lord, that we are recording this service via television so that Korean people can listen. And you put that in the heart of our brother Henry, and it's so beautiful to know that there is a possibility there where some Koreans can hear again the voice of God. Father, we are grateful for giving us the opportunity to have missionaries across the world. Fred and Carol Lewis, who is improving and is going to visit with us in the month of June. And Father, for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Benalmadena, for David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Marta Poretti in Argentina, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Marion Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry as Daniel goes into the sport activities of kart racing and have chapels with them. Father, thank you that we have these large list of missionaries that we support as they too, with the same emphasis that we have, to show people the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we have in our midst people who are sick, and we are a reminder today of Mrs. Forrest, our queen, who is sick with cancer for a long time in bed. And Father, she has been a testimony to our church from the very beginning, and now you have caused her to be in bed. But as soon as we visit with her, the gospel flows from her lips, and how joyful we are to see somebody who has accepted your will in these difficult times. Father, we pray for Jerry West, who had the examination, and he wrote an email to us and said that things looks better, and we hope that soon he may recover and go back to Costa Rica, our new friends that Raquel and I witnessed over there in Costa Rica, and now they are listening to the voice of God and the gospel. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for giving us such a wonderful ministry, not only here in church, but then in the tape ministry, CD ministry, radio, internet. We want people to know one thing, that Jesus is real, and that when we understand him, our lives change in a way that we have no idea. So give me, O God, simplicity of words to explain your word today. And as we touch the end of the book of Job today in chapter 42, remind ourselves that not all the time we live in hard times. There are times when blessings are outpoured in our life. And what we do with those blessings will reveal who we are. Father, may the fellowship of your people be very rich today. And I'm always grateful as a pastor that your congregation here at Bethel support the ministry with willingness and with joy. So thank you, Father, for the offering, and thank you for the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Job. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 344. We will be reading Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 17. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Job chapter 42, all verses. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went, and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Hapuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come directly to the throne of grace because of the finished work of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the wisdom you have imparted to us by the Holy Spirit through the book of Job, wisdom that we cannot find in ourselves. We consider that we may not endure trials like Job's, and yet we benefit from the scriptures that guide us in responding to trials. We are grateful that you have made known to us that you are in control of all things. Pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he brings your message to us, and give us understanding that we may not sin against thee. For we pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and especially for those who do not know you, that they may hear with understanding and believe the gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother Job and my brother Flicka. I'm with Job for so long that I think I'm with him the whole day. We are in this series of studies that will be concluded this month, studying endurance. We started at the beginning of the year, and we keep on moving. So if you have your Bible in Job 42 at the very end, that will be the reference that we will use today. Endurance. The British Dictionary spells endurance as the ability to bear prolonged hardship. And if you have no idea what a hardship is, you can request the church to give you some of the tapes or CDs about the studies on the book of Job, and you will be really impressed with this man. After the long and arduous wait, the loss of his possessions, the loss of his children, the loss of his environment, the house, the shops, his company, Job became the personal recipient of four gold blessings from the hands of God. Those friends that you read, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they have a dialogue with Job three times. We only examine the first dialogue because I thought that was enough misery to study. The others are a little worse and a little worse, so don't need to look upon. But after he lost everything, and after he endured the attack of his friends who in good willing spirit came to help him and to tell him that he was disappointed to God, after all of this, this man Job is the recipient of four gold medals that you can imagine. As I'm going to point them out to you this morning, my prayer is that you might take hope wherever you find yourself today. The reason why I'm going to do this is to give you hope in spite of difficulties. Now, I have to say this, your blessings will be different, of course, because no two trials are identical. As a pastor for more than 35 years, I have never heard two people saying the same thing on a difficulty. Trials are entirely different. But these are the blessings that this man Job received. So are you ready? We're going to study and look on it and see how wonderful they are. The first of the four blessings is this. Job's possessions are double. If you turn your Bible to Job chapter 42 and in verse 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. If you look at verse 8, the Bible said, "Now therefore take for yourself," God is talking to his friends, "seven bulls and seven rams," and according to the book of Leviticus chapter 5, "and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you accordingly to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what a right as my servant Job has." In this dialogue between the friends and Job, they were talking theology, and the man was suffering. He doesn't need theology, he needs comfort. He needs a word from the Lord that will heal him. But the friends were talking about theology and all of these arguments. And God looked and said, you know, theology may be good, but not at this time. And look at what happened. Job built a real spirit of antagonism against his friend. Job was against his friends. His heart was becoming harder against his friends. And so God is doing the impossible. He said, "Job, now you need to pray for your friends." Look at verse 9. "So Eliphaz and the Temanite and the Bildad and Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded. Then, for the Lord had accepted Job, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prays, when he had no more anger." Perhaps it's a great lesson for all of us. Somebody has done something bad to you, and you're still holding that in your heart. And you expect the Lord to bless you. But you still remember. I'm not going to mention anybody here, but I remember my mother because I was close to my mother and to my grandmother. An Italian mother and a Palestinian grandmother. And their customs were different and their characters were different. And I want to date a girl who was three houses from mine. Now this is a long time ago, and the houses in Argentina where I was born, you have long spaces, and maybe were four houses in a block. And my mother sit me down and said, "Now son, you cannot do this, dating this girl, because 25 years ago, the father of that girl, who were all single in the neighborhood, did this to my family." And you know, I care less. I just look the girl. But block my mother's character. And this is what God is trying to avoid in the life of Job. He's saying, "Job, just pray for your friend. Don't bother with him. Don't argue anymore. Don't go to the book of theology and bring all this. Stop this stuff. Just say, God bless these people. Do that. And take them out of your mind and out of your heart." And he did. And the Bible tells us that when we gave up our friends to God, God takes over. And when Job gave up his friends to God, God took over. Now God can work. The heart of Job was clean. And if you look in verse 12, you notice that everything doubled. I'm going to read verse 12, and then I'm going to go back to Job chapter 1, verse 3, where the initial part. Better start in this way. Let's go to Job chapter 1 and verse 3. This is when everything starts. And see how rich was this fellow. The Bible says in verse 2 in Job chapter 1 that he has 7 sons and 3 daughters. Then verse 3, all his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, that's the truck drivers of the east, 500 yoke oxen, that's the tractors on the east, 500 female donkey, that's a special dairy. Have you drink milk from a donkey, from female? It's special, creamy, beautiful. I know you Americans don't eat a lot of things, but this is good. A very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people. Now, with these possessions, he was the greatest. He get a trial. He loses everything. God asked him to forgive his friends. He did. And now going to restore. Let's go back to the last chapter, chapter 42. And then in verse 12, you see how much the Lord did. Notice the Lord said that he did twice. And verse 10 said the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And now look in verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the later days of Job more than his beginning. He was the greatest guy. He was the top notch in the world then. And now look now. Now the Lord blessed the later days of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, a wool factory, better than in Oregon, the one who's on the top of there in Oregon. I mean, a wool factory, 14,000. Remember, before he had 7. Then, verse 12 said, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, his truck company doubled. You go in the east and every truck around said, "Job, Job, Job." 1,000 yoke oxen, all the tractors in the east were Job's. And 1,000 female donkeys. They have milk for everything. He was rich before. I try to look for an English word that will describe him today. And I keep pumping. I went to 3 universities and their grammar school. What is the word that will describe in English a person who is more than rich? And the three schools of thought have these words, wealthy. He was a wealthy person. When a person is wealthy, means doesn't know what the person have. It's just beyond his comprehension. So the first blessing was that Job's possessions are double. He's a wealthy fellow again. Now, there is a second blessing that is pointed out in verse 11. His relatives and friends emerge. Look at verse 11. Until now, for 42 chapters, we are studying the book of Job. We are studying his distress. We are studying his calamity. We are studying his chaos in his life. And no one of his relatives comes around. But now Job is a wealthy person and all the relatives comes around. Look at verse 11. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and eat food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now you, in America, you don't do that. But if you have a relative in the East Coast, and you don't see him for 3 or 4 years, and now you decided to visit, you take a ring of gold. That's very typical of the East. My family in Argentina, when they come to visit, will not come unless they bring gold to my granddaughters. Whether it's bracelets, hangings, that is a saying, we love you. So husbands, talk to your wife about it. Verse 11, one day all his brothers and all his sisters surrounded Job and looked up to him. Now, were they praying for Job before? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, silent about it. But usually when you're in trouble, your friends are gone. Unless they are real, real friends. I don't know the situation. But the Bible tells us that nobody was there, and now they're all come out. And if you look in verse 11 again, these people, they came together and they have fellowship. They eat. You see what verse 11 said? They eat with each other. So they have fellowship. When a guest come in the East, you don't sit in the living room. There is no living room. I say all of this so you understand in America what the environment is. In the house, there is a large dining room. A large dining room. I used to live in Friedman, where there's a lot of Arabs and people from Afghanistan. And I have a beautiful German shepherd, I mean, trained to the T, and a neighbor behind me has one. And one time, his dog got lost, and I found it and brought it in. And so one night, he came to my door, this Arab, and said, I'd like you to come to my house. And it was about 6 p.m. Now, I know at 6 p.m., what do you eat in Arabia? Apples and pearls and grapes. And so I told my wife, we want to eat fruit. And so we went over there and we sit down on the floor. And we all eat fruit together. He showed pictures of his wife. Some of them I cannot reveal it to you. But it's amazing. He showed me pictures and pictures of his wife. So proud of his wife. You know, and we don't sit in the living room. There was a living room. I don't think ever the people sit over there in the house. They were all in the big family room, a big carpet. But they all sitting together, eating together. So now they have fellowship. They eat together. And they sympathize. They comfort with him. So Job, we feel sorry for you. And they give a piece of money and a gold to him. Silver in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is a symbol of money. Silver. All right? So much they in South America, when you said, how much silver do I need to pay for that? Very typical. Silver is a symbol of money. Now, in many homes where physical affliction is hard, there is a separation that occurs. Some marriage, because of affliction, can't make it. As the wife moves in one direction and the husband in the other. But not on Job and his wife. Remember, they stuck together. The Bible doesn't say that the wife left Job when he lost everything. They stuck together. They carry life together. We talked today in Sunday school with a college class. Tough times are ahead, but you carry things together. This is fantastic. Blessing number two tells me that here are all these friends. They all come in and they all gather together. But the greatest is to me is that his wife, in spite of all the difficulties and all the troubles and her misunderstanding at the very beginning, remember that she said to Job, why don't you curse God and die? Even though her misunderstanding, now she put herself together and they are one piece and now they are seeing the blessings of the Lord. Remarkable. There's a third blessing that came in this way. Job's children are all replaced. Look at verse 13. Go to Job 42 and verse 13. He also has 7 sons and 3 daughters. You remember in chapter 1 and in verse 2, at the very beginning, the Bible said that Job has 7 sons and 3 daughters. And now, at the end, in 42 and in verse 13, the Bible also say that they have the same amount. Now, I thought for a moment, Job must be about 70 by the time he went through the whole crisis. And I want you to picture this. It is hilarious. It is. They are both 70, 75. And can you imagine when Mrs. Job tell Mr. Job, I'm pregnant. Not only once, 10 times. Can you imagine? From 75 to 85, 86, 87, these women, the only thing he knows, she's pregnant. It's amazing. Verse 14 tells me, we are told something significant about their daughters. They were beautiful. Of course, for every mother, their daughters are beautiful. But look at verse 14. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Geziah, and the name of the third Keren Hapak. In all of the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. The beauty of the life of faith of Job, parents have now been reflected in these daughters. That's what I thought. The beauty of this man of faith, he never doubted God. He may be arguing with God. He maybe have a different view and theology than what was correct, but he never complained to God of his situation. The beauty of that faith, that inward faith of Job, is reflected now in the presence of these three daughters. Now, in verse 15, there is something that is odd in the Old Testament, if you are familiar with the laws of the Old Testament. You read and at the end of verse 15 these words, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. In America, I have been a pastor, as I told you, for a long years. And when somebody died, I had seen sorrow and so on. But the boy, in many cases, I have seen children and grandchildren fighting for the money that is left over. And the widow called me to make peace for them. Why the Bible said they was given an inheritance? These tell us that Job lived before Moses. Because the law of the inheritance went to daughters only if there were no sons. If you look in your Bible in Numbers, chapter 27 and verse 8, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Number. Chapter 27 and verse 8, You find over there a law with respect to inheritance. You shall speak to the people of Israel saying, if a man dies and hath no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughters. You see that? If you have no sons, then your inheritance goes to your daughters. What the women had? Well, the women had to marry the older son of the family. That was the law in the Old Testament. Women in the Old Testament, it was not for Jesus. Women have no right whatsoever in this world. Women were just the usage of man. And if she, if somebody died, then she had to marry the brother and son, and that was her protection. But the law provides, if there is no brothers in the family, then the opportunity is that she can have the inheritance. And so that tells me that Job lived before the law, was established. So Job's children are replaced. He lost 10 children. The 10 children are replaced. So remember what we saw. We saw 4 blessings. His possessions double. And as I said, doesn't mean that this is going to happen to you. All right? Doesn't mean that. It means this is the blessings for this man. Your blessings are different because your trials of life are different. His relatives and friends we had no idea that he had, they came all out with good spirit, praising him. His children are all replaced. And now the 4 blessing is mentioned. The blessing of a long and satisfying life. A long and satisfying life. Look, in verse 16, the Bible tells me that he lives 140 years after the trials. Verse 16, Job 42, verse 16. After this, Job lived 140 years. Suppose that he was 70 or 75. He lives until 210. Enough to make all his payments and enjoy it. Tremendous. A long life. Also, among his many delights, Job saw his son, his grandson, grandchildren. Look at here, verse 16. And Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren. The original said great grandchildren. And if you live 210 years, you are able to. Great grandchildren. As you know, in Hebrew, that doesn't exist, the word grandparents. They're all fathers. That was some people have trouble when they go to the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings to see David is still the father of everybody. But you have to know it's father 1, father 2, father 3. That's the way they classify. So Job saw his great family multiply. Yesterday I was in a party and Terry's birthday, and one man who I know for a long time, he said, you know, I came alone, he said, from Peru. And look at now. He said, I counted more than 30 people that I have here. I said, well, I beat you. I think I have 45 or something like that. I'm more productive. I came alone, and after 13 years, one came in, another came in, and we were able to bring family here. And we are more than nephews and grandnephews and great-grandnephews, and I think we're about 45. What a joy when you get together. All right, noisy, but it's beautiful. Verse 17, what a sweet way to summarize the years of Job. So Job died old, and look at what the Bible said, and full of days. It's wonderful when you grow older and you still have the energy and you still have the power and you still have your brains to reason and to read and to chat with people. What a blessing is that, don't we? That you get older, but you are still able to communicate, able to see, able to share, able to travel with difficulties of the body. I find it myself at 70 that you have difficulties and your elbows and your knees are not at the speed they were before. All right? But I tell you, it's just a blessing to grow older, like the Bible said, old and full of days. It's just a blessing. So, in this beautiful story, the Lord ends the book of trials, the book of Job, the book of trials, with a blessing upon this man. And I thought to myself, even though I want to have two sermons, one is, what do we learn for ourselves? And the other will be, what do we learn about God through the life of Job? I want today to zero in our life, what do we learn for ourselves through Job's blessings? All right? If you look in your Bible in Proverbs, which is page 392 in the Bible that is in the pew, in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 10 and in verse 22, the Bible gives us a clue about blessing. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, and is on page 392. The Bible gives us a clue on how do I know I have been blessed by God. Because I got a lot of those questions. How do I know I'm blessed by God? Look at what the Bible says. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. So suppose you do not know God. You have no idea who God is. You have no idea that God spoke in the divine word, the Bible. That if you want to hear from God, you need to read the scripture. Suppose you have no idea. And then, under the mercies of God, one day you read the Bible. And you discover what God really is. Mighty, sovereign, tender, and just. And you discover what God has done. Man is seeking God and he cannot find it. But God has sent his son Jesus to point to God. And he is merciful and gracious. And understand you because he became a man so that he can understand the sufferings. He became a high priest to offer himself to God to make peace with God. Suppose that you really discover that. That's called a blessing. A blessing. And that blessing of the Lord adds no sorrow. I heard a lot of Christians over the radio ministry in 29 years telling me how tough life is for them at that particular moment. And that's true. That I never heard somebody to say, oh, I feel so sorry that I know God now. See, adds no sorrow. We all go through the trials of life. All we go, whether money or no money, that's not the problem. The problem is not the environment. The problem is not America or Italy or Argentina or Costa Rica. The problem is ourselves. We do not know what the blessings of God really are. We think the blessings of the Lord is driving a Ferrari. No, you got more problem, more insurance. Each time you're going to sit down in the car, you look for a scratch. Who did it? The blessing of the Lord adds no sorrow. No sorrow. So there has to be a spiritual blessing. Because everything is sorrow. We have been blessed with a beautiful house right here on Lake Anderson. We call a fellow to put some windows. We thought he did a good job. Rains, and now water comes into the house. And we had to call one fellow to fix it. We thought it was fixed. Water is still coming into the house. So now we call another fellow to fix it. Bigger your house, bigger your problem, no? luxurious your car, more problem you got. See, that's not the blessing. The blessing of the Lord is that the spiritual insight, that regardless where you live, regardless what you do, you have peace with God. And when you die, you don't need a guy to rush into your house and sprinkle your head with whatever he wants to, water or oil or whatever. Because God has sprinkled in your heart the blood of Christ. And now you are one with God. Whether you die with conscience or unconscience, you have been blessed by God. And one day, if you know Jesus Christ, you will stand in the presence of God with no sorrow. Because you know him. God gave us a great picture in Job. So I told the college class today, you are so young. 17, 18, 19, 21, 23. So young. So much travel ahead. That's what I told them. So much travel ahead. But today we learn that if we pray, God answer us. God answer us. Not in the way we imagine, but God answer us. And he gave us more than what we need. Here is Job doesn't need double of what he had before. He already was the Bill Gates of his generation. My brother and my sister, let me tell you this. Do you really know God? Don't count the material things of life. Your blessings can be taken away. It's your spiritual life what is the blessing. The Lord will give you enough to eat and enough to cover yourself. You had no idea how rich America is until you visit other countries. We've been in Costa Rica. And we've been with people who bow on their knees to thank us, Americans, they said, for bringing investment in Costa Rica. The first time in my life, as I travel in countries, that I saw people thanking America for investment. So I investigated a little and I said, what kind of investments? So, well, you know, all these works, this is American money. And they gave us jobs. And how do you work? Listen carefully. We work 12 hours a day from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 p.m. We work from Monday through Saturday. And we make $150 a month. Can you imagine? And they give us a bus to go to work and a bus to come back. They give us 3 meals every day in a little house, which the bathroom was outside over there. I said, are you happy? Oh, we are so happy. We had no food before, but now we don't know what to do with $150. No place to spend it. And they're learning to be administrators of their own money. Because some good Americans have installed in the Pacific area of Costa Rica companies to have remarkable vacation places, which they will charge you $100 a day to stay. They count as blessings, something that you have. You will say, no, that's not a blessing. It's a blessing for these people. They have nothing, now they have something. So I sit down with the Word of God and trying to share the Word of God. It was very difficult. Because now they had no need. No need. Their needs were supplied, so I don't need God. An American supplied my need, I don't need God to supply my need. My friend, sometimes tough time comes to us so that we know that we are not capable to solve the problem. So that we need to look up and say, God, where are you? And God said, I'm here in the Bible. Read it, believe it, and the rest will be history. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of understanding the book of Job. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity, for the great opportunity that we saw in the book of Job, the calamities of his life. We have no idea. We only read it and believe it. But now as we conclude the book, we see that your blessings are added to our life, no sorrow. Oh, Father, I pray for those who have not yet received the blessing of the knowledge of the Almighty through Jesus Christ. Because that blessing adds no sorrow to our life. Oh, Father, I pray for your mercy upon those who need Christ. In Jesus I pray. Amen. Today is a very special Sunday for us. I have made this for this guy and the others the same. And now they grow up. We're going to dedicate Casey to the Lord. And in a minute, we're going to call the family here. And it's amazing to see all these little children, you know, that I dedicated when I was here in church years ago. So, Anthony, you are not too old to me. I know it's embarrassing, but it's all right. There is a passage in the scripture where Jesus was dedicated. It's found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2 and verse 21. And because Jesus was born as a Jew, he was then put together in the respectfulness of the law. Remember, the Bible said in Galatians that Jesus fulfilled all the law. And as a Jew, he need to be circumcised at the 8th day. And in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, verse 21 said, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in his womb." Here's another miracle. Usually a firstborn and a male carry the name of his father. But remember in Matthew 1:21. The angel told Joseph his name shall be called Jesus because he will be the savior of his people. Jesus is the name Joshua. Jesus is in Latin. In Joshua, which means savior, is in the word.
Then verse 25 said that there was a man who was praying for this event. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was a just and devout man, means a very good Christian, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was waiting for the Messiah, things that Jewish people don't do, but this man had been touched by God. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he will not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Christ is the Greek word, Christos, which means the Messiah, in Hebrew. So he said, you will not die until you see the Lord Jehovah, the Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed the Lord. And so it is our custom then, when a child is born, to do as well, to bring the child into the presence of God and to pray that the parents and we, the congregation, will do the best we can to help this child to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to call the whole family, the whole Noriel family here. And they say, what a privilege. Casey, don't cry on me. All right. What a privilege. Come on, Matthew. And I have done all for these kids. And these people were single when I was they were here in church. And now, look at, and more to come, all right? Okay, let's pray. Father, you brought Casey into the world, into a family who loves you, into a family who respects you. And I pray that their parents and their brothers and sisters will be able to help Casey to know you. And I pray that this church also will provide all the care and all the love that Casey needs to know that there is a God and there is a Savior. Protect her. Put your umbrella upon her life that she may grow as a beautiful lady in your kingdom. In Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Oh, you're the best child I ever have. Usually they all cry, you know? When they see this old pastor, you know. All right, will you stand, please, for the benediction? Lord, thank you. We saw our family increase by one today. It is a child, but in your eyes, it is a full human being. And you already have placed Casey into the hands of a family with a responsibility to show the way. Bless Jovi and bless Dana as they dedicate their life for her. Bless us as we assist her to know you. And Lord, once again, help us to look into our life and not to dwell on those blessings who are temporary, but to dwell on those blessings who add no sorrow. Father, the only thing that comes to my mind is that when I know you as Savior, there is no sorrow. So, Father, bless us with contentment, wherever we are, physically, materially. Help us to see that the blessings of God are not so much as the things of this world, but the things that we treasure in our heart. And help us to be happy. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.